0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on the final round of pre-split fixtures. One former Celtic favourite thinks the club have lost their fear factor heading into the closing stage. Bojan Miovski thinks Rangers can win the title and believes his goals can be key to that. And it's a big night for the Scotland women's national team. They are in qualification action against Belgium at Easter Road. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, after the weekend's fixtures, Gordon, with five games to go, as you were, as they say, plenty of excitement round the corner. But this weekend, it's all about the Scottish Cup semi-finals. First off, Dunfermline and Falkirk. I think that'll be an absolute cracker. And then on the Sunday, they'll look to see who wins between Celtic and St Mirren. Another good game, because St Mirren ran Celtic close at the weekend at Celtic Park. They'll get in full of confidence, but you would fancy Celtic to win that. And then next week, we're back into the excitement of the Premier League.
Yeah, we're another game closer to the end of this championship, but I don't think we're any closer to working out who is going to win it. Everybody taking full points at the weekend at the top, and yeah, looking forward to the semi-finals this weekend. I agree with Daz. I think the Falkirk Dunfermline one set up nicely, and after watching Celtic versus St Mirren, that's going to be a tough one as well.
Oh, you're worried now, having watched the dress rehearsal?
Slightly concerned. Celtic got off to a really good start at the weekend, but then just did not build.
Is he the ex-Celtic star that made the statement?
I was going to get to that.
No, he wants to keep his job. He's not making that statement.
Bit of mystery attached to it. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. We're all in this together this season. You know the drill on a Tuesday night. We still pick up the pieces, because Monday nights and Sunday evenings, just not enough to get through everything from the weekend. So how does it sit now? Your immediate reaction to the game's kind of gone, the dust settles, you get a camera look back on what happened, where it leaves everybody, and what you think is going to happen next. So give the guys a call, thoughts on the title race, thoughts on what it does mean going forward. It's an interesting eyewitness account from Simon. It's a bit early to directly build up to the game on Sunday, but he's saying, based on what he witnessed between Celtic and St Mirren, all of a sudden not as confident as he might have been for the teams meeting again this weekend. So you could always give us your thoughts there if you agree or disagree with what you're hearing. 01419511025. We're going to hear from, like I said, a former Celtic favourite who thinks they've lost their fear factor. Is that fair? Is that accurate? Bojan Miovski's been speaking as well. Rangers fans, what do you think about your attacking department? Looked at the halftime change at the weekend. Does it need to be two up front? And obviously, is one of them going to be Miovski if Ryan Nadiri's out injured? Or have you got another plan to try and see you over the line? 01419511025. Like I mentioned, big night for the Scotland women's national team. We'll cross the Easter Road a bit later on in the show as well. Until then, get those calls in, please. 01419511025. We're getting there. A couple of weeks. That's
yeah.
It. That's all we've got left.
Yeah. And I heard a bit of the show last night, and Andy Halliday, who's probably backed Hearts for a long, long time now, has doubled down. He doesn't have a clue. I don't think anybody
backed
has
down.
Backed down. Yeah. I don't think anybody has a clue who's going to win this title race, Gordon. I've got to say, I don't think any of the three teams know who's going to win the title race. They've got to
build. It's incredible, isn't it?
But not just that, and I'll touch on it as well. I think the bottom six for that 11th place is exciting. Oh, yeah. If you're down there as well,
I think that would be getting more attention if we didn't. 100%. Because normally we don't have this title race, and you focus elsewhere. That's going to be brilliant, because everybody, I assume, is as uncertain who's going to finish 11th as they are who's going to finish first.
Yeah.
Because how do you really split those teams that are down there?
It's,
can you make a little case for them all?
It's 1-4, I've got to say. There's a lot of important games coming up as well in that situation. You're still looking at the fight for 4th. Can Hibs catch Motherwell? That's another exciting situation. It's just been brilliant. The split is going to be fantastic. And some of the games coming up, I'll just be twists and turns. We've been saying that now for so
many
weeks.
It's going to be
weeks.
Like that right to the end of
it. Yeah, 100%. This could go to the end.
The more it's going on, I think it's going to break down to the wire. Hearts go behind at the weekend, come back late. Celtic take the lead early, can't build on it. Look, you know, a little bit ropey towards the end. A lot of possession St Mirren had towards the end of that game. Rangers looked out on their feet in the first half, managed to get a goal towards the right on stroke of half time, and then score five in the second half. It sums up the season in one weekend.
I do like that, the fact that even within halves of football, things are a bit mad and a bit
totally
twisty and turny. You know, we're not talking about that being over the course of the season. That's happening within halves of of football here. You know, if you talk about Tynecastle, where Masuanisi misses an unbelievable chance,
should score, Gordon,
and Hearts go and score. You mentioned Rangers, and obviously we kind of spoke about this last night. Imagine saying to somebody in the 40th minute that Rangers were about to score six. It's like, just mind blowing.
Couldn't see it anywhere. Yeah.
And it used to be, sorry, as quickly to package them all, as Simon said, it used to be the case that the challenge for Celtic in those games, probably, what can you score early? You know, because it can be hard. You break teams down, but now that's not even necessarily the bit that
Gordon started
it.
Well. They started well. Oxlade-Chamberlain gets a goal that's quite rightly ruled offside. He pops up again, takes it well. I thought they started the game reasonably well, and you're thinking, normal service here, maybe 2-3-0. Looking for a comfortable afternoon, because quite frankly, I can't remember the last time Celtic had one, and it wasn't that at all. It wasn't that in the second half. Any actual should score, I think he would feel that himself. But St Mirren had a lot of play in the second half. It was
we've just... credit to St Mirren.
You've got to.
They've certainly improved.
Yes.
You look at the Rangers game. I think that there'd be a lot of Rangers fans texting each other and on Twitter saying bottle merchants, and then all of a sudden they get that goal just before half time. And then they decide to bring out a different team in the second half, and they were absolutely brilliant. Hearts are showing signs that they certainly can be champions, because you're right, Gordon, Masuanisi goes through, he puts that in the back of the net, the game's over. The Hearts ain't coming back from that.
And by the way, people are probably saying their title challenge is over, which it wouldn't have been, but that's the size of the moments and the conclusions that we all jumped at the moment. That, by the way, that would have happened, I think, for any of them probably at the weekend, wouldn't it? You know,
I think more
just
so,
because of the
I think more so, and it's probably wrongly so, Hearts, because I think everybody
you're kind of waiting
has waited
on,
on Hearts. But I mean, credit to them, they've led this table for as long as I can remember, and you know they obviously have something there where in adversity they can still come back and get the point.
It's interesting, sir, because I look at this and I think, the difference for me, I always like strikers, right? Can score goals. I was pointing out the fact that Rangers had scored so many goals at home, but it was different goal scorers, right? I look at Hearts. Shanklin and Braga are probably the best two centre forwards together as a partnership. They'll score you goals.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that boost for Rangers came at the weekend. The two strikers, four between them.
Yeah.
So they're banging the goals in. Here's a big question mark: has Celtic got that in their locker to go and blow teams away?
Doesn't look like that.
0141 951 1025, that is the number that you need. Get in touch, let us know what you're thinking after the weekend, or looking forward, or anything else at all. We are here for you. Scott is going to kick things off. How are you, Scott?
I'm alright, Gordon. How are you, sir? Alright.
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, there's a lot I'm thinking, but hi Simon, hi Dazza.
Hi Scott.
I hope you're alright. Listen, it's kind of looking backwards to look forwards, and I hope you can bear with me. St Mirren game obviously on Saturday, and the St Mirren game coming up on Sunday, I'm not very confident in this. They've already beat us at Hampden in a cup final. I was at the game on Saturday, probably where Simon was, and Celtic were very confident against St Mirren on Saturday, and we were playing them on Sunday. And as I said, we've not got an out and out striker to put the ball in the back of the net. And you're coming to the point going, we could win nothing this year. Obviously I'm wanting us to win the double, right? But I'm less than 50% confident here, you know, because I think you spoke about it last night. Look at the point where if Hearts get beat with Hibs on Saturday, Rangers draw against Motherwell on, and I think they're playing Sunday, is it? They're playing Sunday. And we beat Falkirk. We're on level points, but Rangers are 11 goals ahead of us, you know. And
is that worrying you, that goal difference bit now, Scott? Because it's one of the, goal difference is a brilliant thing where it doesn't really get spoken about, does it, until you need to, or until you hit a point in the season where the number gets too big, and then everybody always mentions it as being like an extra point.
Well, Gordon, it's like, as you just said there, I reduced the words in my mouth there, it's an extra point, isn't it? You know, because as Dazza says, we've not got a striker to claw back 11 goals in five games. Not a chance, you know. And it, as you said, it's like another point. So it's, if it goes to the wire, which we all think it might do for the last game of the season, it has to be no one's bust. Do you know what I mean? It has to be all or nothing.
Yeah, cause again, Gordon, if we're talking about the micro bits where it does become a bit more than the 3 points, I think the big test for Rangers is, people were saying, can they even go to Falkirk and win? Falkirk are brilliant. It's credit to Falkirk. It wasn't criticism of Rangers. It's not always been easy on the road. But not only that, you do end up boosting your goal difference by 4, believe it or not, despite, you know, going 2-0 down on a weekend where Celtic have, in theory, the kind of easier game at home, you know what I mean, on paper certainly, and boost the goal difference by 1. Albeit, you know, I know they kept a clean sheet, you can spin these things, but if we're talking specifically about goal difference,
goal difference will be massive in this, there's no doubt, and this is where Rangers right now have got the advantage for me. Forget the 6 goals at the weekend, right? You look at their last home games, they're banging in 4 goals. They're scoring goals. They look like they can run up 3, 4, 5 easily. Sid was talking about it there. He was at the game. He's seen the full Celtic game. You're not looking at a Celtic team, you're thinking, they've got to win 4, 5.
Do you know what I was actually thinking in the second half? If St Mirren score here, Celtic are in trouble, because they just didn't outwith that chance that Iheanacho had. They just didn't look as if they had any energy to generate chances to get forward. I thought they have to hold on for a 1-0 here. And when would you ever think that about Celtic at Celtic Park, you know? But that's the way the game felt for me.
There's been so much, Scott, though, about the number 9 or lack of, or chop and change in that department. Is it more than that, though? You know, say you're creating 6, 7 big chances a game and one guy's missing them, then fine. But are Celtic doing that? Are they creating the way they used to?
No, not really. Look at Maeda from last year to this year. You know, he was banging in goals left, right and centre. He's no the man he was last year whatsoever. You know, and as we all say, it's a team game, isn't it? You know, you don't have to really go for your strikers. Obviously, you're wanting your strikers to score as much as possible, but it's a team game and everybody can score. But as Simon says there, you know, if St Mirren, you know, I was at the same game as Simon, obviously, but if St Mirren score, Celtic, I don't think Celtic would have had any idea how to get it back. It's astonishing how we are that bad at Celtic Park, where you have to rely on one goal and to win a game against. And I'm not no disrespect to St Mirren, because St Mirren have been playing all right. They have been poor, but at least they're a decent team. But you shouldn't be sitting there at Park Eden and going for a one goal win. Okay, a win's a win. Doesn't matter if it's one goal or no. But Rangers, as I say, Rangers are banging in the goals left, right and centre. And so it's Hearts, the two strongest strikers in Scotland, Shanklin and, what do you call him?
Braga
are working as a unit. We've no got that. We've no got that in anywhere in the park. Not a unit in the park, not one player. The midfield, all right, Negrin's coming up and he scored 19-20 goals this year. You know, obviously you're wanting your striker to do that, but at the end of the day, if you take him out of the equation, where else is the goals coming from?
Yeah, and you've, listen, Scott, in recent seasons as well, you could probably look at the front three at Celtic and they would all have double figures, and you could probably look at the next three that are sitting on the bench and they wouldn't be far off it as well. That's the problem for Celtic this year. I think it's Negrin, and then you go down to Yang as the second top goal scorer.
Maeda and Yang, 7.
Which is
in the league.
Which is incredible. It's incredible. And you look at the return that Negrin has produced, it's 19 goals all in. But if he's not popping up, then they are struggling at the moment. Don't get me wrong, I would take a 1-0 in the next 5, but it's not convincing. And I think the game at the weekend will be difficult.
See what Scott says, though. I mean, look at Dyson Maeda, Gordon. Is he a symptom, though, rather than it sort of been his fault? It must be one of many things that's all, unfortunately for Celtic, gone in the wrong direction at the one time, because with no disrespect to Dyson Maeda, and he was wonderful last season, but we had seen Dyson Maeda before. He had been at Celtic before, and if we're all being totally honest, he wasn't going to get 33 goals again this season.
No.
Like I say, you've seen him before, so there was always going to be that drop off there. But if he drops off a lot, because it's more probably than people would have expected. At the same time as you're not creating as much from elsewhere, you've not got a proper number nine, and so on and so forth. That all adds up.
I think more than him, I think most of the team's dropped off. If you looked at, if you're a Celtic supporter and you're going along in a couple of weeks' time to say, right, we're going to vote for player of the year, Nigreen would get it because of his goals. But his overall play hasn't been that great. But to be fair to the lad, he's put the ball in the back of net when Celtic needed it. Celtic have had too many players below par. But the scary thing for Hearts and Rangers is they still could go and win a double.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put it by them. The amount of home games that they've got, I know what we're saying there about St Mirren. St Mirren has always got to be a difficult, nervy one. I do think they'll be in the final. I think they'll beat St Mirren at Hampden Park, I've got to admit, right? That's only my opinion.
No, has that been dented in any way by the weekend?
No. I just think the cup football at Hampden, neutral pitch, they know what the...
I don't think it's been dented, but I think Celtic will be aware that they have to play, they have to perform
people,
a lot better.
People are, I know that, but people are, they still win the game 1-0. People have got to go back to, well, St Mirren were excellent in the League Cup, right? It was under a different manager in the way that Celtic were going about their business this time. As much as you can criticise Celtic, now, one thing you can't criticise is Martin O'Neill's put that fighting spirit into them.
Yeah.
They are grasping 1-0 victories when they're not really very good. You would look at that, if that Celtic team won the league this year, you're probably saying that's one of the poorest Celtic teams to win a league in a long, long time, let's be honest.
Scott, talk to us about that bigger picture, because you mentioned something at the start about, you know, just how sort of delicate this is, where maybe this does end up in a double winning season for Celtic. Maybe it's one, maybe it's none. What's that like to sort of have that balance, be in that balance at the moment? You're obviously, you know, won't be used to it in recent seasons.
Obviously, we're no used to it, right? And it comes to the point where you're wanting a strong Scottish Premiership. But no, this strong. But it's just a point where, if I can put up with that, I say, you know, we've got a striker there, Chinchara, 6'3", and he can't jump, right? You know, and, you know, it's just bamboozling sometimes, you know, and the bigger picture is we could win the double, we could win nothing. That's the very thin line of it, Gordon, right? If we win the league this year, I don't know if Simon will agree with me, if we win the league this year, we've stole it. Because at the end of the day, we have all season. It's not just been for 3 months, 4 months, 2 months. All season, we've been really bad. And as Gordon says, we've stuck to it, and we're still there. And as you say, we can still win the double. We can win nothing. It's a very, very thin line, Gordon. If we win the double, I'll be celebrating just as much as any other Celtic fan would. If we lose it, but here's another point: if we do lose it. And I've heard a lot of Celtic fans in Celtic Park and on this station saying, would it be a bad thing? Because then, obviously, it turns off and having an upside-down, Gordon, you know. But, obviously, it's going to be a bad thing because you want to win the league. You want your team to win the league. But,
that's some situation because, look, sport, we overcomplicate it a bit at times. Strip it back, you want your team to win. All the time, at all costs, doesn't matter. You know, I think that's the essence of it. But Scott mentions, If Celtic pull this double out the bag, it's not going to, you know, surely can't be described as like a, yeah, it would be successful. And I choose my words carefully here, but you know what I mean. It's not like everything's rosy. It can't be, surely.
No, I don't think it matters whether Celtic win the double or win the league or just win the cup. When it comes to the summer, it needs revamped. Let's be honest. The structure all the way down needs revamped. What first and foremost, they're looking for a manager. As well.
Yep.
They've got a lot of players there, a lot of deadwood that I think Celtic fans would like to see going out the exit door and new fresh faces coming in to get them off and running again in the close season. So it doesn't matter what they do this season, whether they win nothing, win a double, or just win one of the two trophies that they're in for, it's going to need revamp in the summer anyway.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. Thank you very much to Scott and Cambus Lang. Why don't you jump on board 01419511025, whatever it is that you're thinking. We'd love to hear it right now, and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Let's go straight back in with Kenny, who's on the line. How are you, Kenny?
Sid.
Kenny.
What are you thinking, Kenny? Just like to, there seems to be some sort of a narrative over the past few weeks, or even maybe the course of the season, about Celtic's lack of firepower. And this is coming from Celtic fans as well. I get it, we've no got a kind of a recognised striker that's banging in the goals that we have every other season, but we've actually scored more goals in the league this season than Hearts, and Hearts are widely regarded as having the best strike force in the league. Celtic scored one more goal than Hearts this season, and even up until the weekend there, I know Rangers are now, they've pulled away and they've went to 66, but they had only scored a couple of more goals before the weekend as well, and that's without us having a recognised striker.
Kenny, it's no nonsense because it's there in black and white. I agree with that, right? But yeah. I think because, and it's only my opinion, I think because it's so tight, there's five games to go, and you just need that, you know, that sort of a kick on now. I think your strikers are going to be so important. And at this moment in time, if you were looking at the three teams in the striker position, take the goals away, right? From now to the end of the season. Because at the end of the day, it's anybody's league, right? So
you're talking about if you're starting a three horse race.
Which it basically is, right? I think your strikers are the ones that are going to get you over the line, mate, right? That's only my opinion. I know that defending clean sheets are great, but to win games, go and bang the goals in. And I look at the three teams. And by the way, I've not changed my mind yet. I went for Celtic for the word go, and I'm sitting right on the fence, and I've got Celtic, Hearts and Rangers my sweep. and I've got to say, I'm looking at the two Rangers guys at the weekend, and they look cool, four goals between them. Braga and Shanklin, they will score goals in the run-in. Let's not be kidded here. I'm just saying, where is Celtic going to get the match winners from just now? Because they're chopping, changing their centre forward every single week.
It's a good point though, Kenny. Obviously, I've kind of overlooked that as well because of what you're used to with the firepower at Celtic. You're used to, you know, blowing teams away, goals, you know, every season. And it's kind of, as I said there at the weekend, I was just a wee bit concerned if St Mirren get back in level terms, excuse me, that could Celtic kick on and get another goal. But it's interesting there. I think Hearts and Rangers are battering in more goals now going into this.
That's what I'm saying. That's
five.
My point. I'm not talking
and
about
I did
from
say
the
as well, this, before a ball was kicked at the weekend, in my little bit on Celtic TV, I thought that the front line need to take responsibility from here on in. They can't be relying on Negrin to pop up with a goal. So if it's Chimanchara or Iheanacho coming off the bench or the two wide men, certainly they have to contribute and. By that,
Kenny,
score goals.
Aye, Kenny, here's a great question, and answer it honestly, right, because I always answer my questions honestly. Right, see if you're, this is the start now, this is the start of the split, and you've got a chance to change your team, whether it be Hearts strikers, two of the Rangers strikers, or stick with what you've got. What are you doing? To win the league. Come on, be honest.
Give him a chance.
No, I'm right on him.
It's a good question, but at the end of the day, we've done this, we've took the strikers, so what's to say that we can't just keep doing it?
Not saying that you can't. What I'm saying is, I think you've got a better chance if you go into games and your strikers are battering in goals. I think you've got a better chance.
Without sounding... As you say, but I mean, does it count more if a striker scores a goal than if a midfielder or if a defender does it? Because we've had goals through our team to keep on our tails.
Yeah, I get that, because your midfield player scored 19 goals, his top goal scorer. The ones behind him are, the next one's seven, Yang and Maeda, both in seven, right? But I'm talking, these fixtures are going to be so, for me, I could be totally wrong, but these fixtures are going to be so tight, right? Especially when it comes down to playing against Rangers at Celtic Park, playing against Hearts, maybe the title will be finished by that time. You've got Motherwell to play. So when you're playing the top five teams, and you look at the top five teams, and I think they're very, very good, right? You can make an argument for them all. The difference may just be that guy, the poacher, the striker, that is going to get you a couple of goals just to give you a bit of comfort.
Because the thing, I suppose, Kenny, you're maybe both right, because you're talking about over the course of the season, you're just stating facts that you can't necessarily argue with. But if Rangers are ahead by 7 goals at the moment, even if you take the last 2 months, if they replicate their rate of scoring in the next 5 games and you replicate your rate of scoring over the next 5 games, that will be a lot more than 7 come the end of the season.
That's right, but let's replicate the points and we'll see what that does.
Well, if everybody replicates their points, you'll be third.
No, I'm just saying, you're saying over the course of the past couple of months or something, over the past couple of months, you know, they're really only... There's been a couple of results where it's let down. Listen, it's not been a good season as a Celtic fan. It's not been enjoyable, the football, and this is going back to even Brendan Rodgers. But I just think that this whole thing about the Hearts having the best strikers, or Rangers strikers are banging them in. They're banging them in last weekend, but other than that, they've not been banging them in.
But it's not, that's what I'm saying. If you take a look at the kind of recent run of results, listen, you're right, it's only 7 ahead over the course of the season. It was 6 at the weekend, 4 the week before, 4 the week before that. So there's just people are just looking for wee signs about what's the form like at the moment. You know, the amount of goals that were scored in August and September will contribute to your tally at the end. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But in terms of indicators as to what happens in the next 5 games, don't think it's a stretch for people to look at Rangers right now, look at Celtic right now, and think that Rangers will score more goals.
They've not scored more goals in the past twice that they played us at Ibrox 2 weekends in a row, and they never scored more goals in us, and neither did Hearts when we played them at Tynecastle, and that was us down to 10 men. I've got no worries about playing them at home.
Well, they scored more goals against you at home. They beat you at home.
They did at home, but I'm saying the last time we've played them, it goes both ways.
Kenny, I agree with you. I think Celtic, as much as people look at them and think, I think that outside Celtic supporters, you probably look at Celtic and go, well, maybe third favourites to go and win the title. I look at the fact that the home game's coming up.
Yeah.
And they're still there. Yeah. I look at the fact that I think they've got a brilliant manager and everything about them. They've got the Green Brigade back in there to crank up the atmosphere. Look, I totally get what you're saying. What I'm saying is it might just, because it's so tight, it might just come down to that striker or the double act of a striker, whatever, just getting that cutly goals at sea over the line.
You wouldn't take Shankland and Braga just now, Kenny?
At the moment, I would probably take Cammy Devlin up front.
So you're lacking firepower after all of this?
But I think Ian, that's one of your callers a couple of calls ago, was saying about starting with Ian Acho, and I think personally, I've never got to tell Martin O'Neill his job, but I think if you don't know how long you're going to get out of him, start with the guy, because what happens if you wait to 60 minutes or 65 minutes and you bring him on the Brexton anyway? I think you start him and you see how long you get.
You agree with that? But not so much I agree with it,
but I spoke to somebody earlier on today and they were saying the same thing as Kenny about starting in the Acho. I think we touched on it last week on the show. For me, he's the best striker there. He misses a chance. I think he would think he should score at the weekend.
Yeah,
one time
my
head against
it. Is it all about chance taking, though? There must be a theory for Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, whatever.
There must be a feeling that he doesn't give you as much. Of course there must be. He starts the Dundee United game. I don't think the Dundee United game suited
the pitch,
but I think you had to try and turn them a wee bit more direct. Celtic were trying to be linking up on that pitch. I thought on a better pitch like the weekend, maybe, but as you say, Gordon, you touched on it perfectly there. The coaching team are working with them day in, day out. They must think.
I think when it comes to, I'm not saying the big games, because the top five is big games, everyone's a pressure
You'll
game.
Play.
I'm talking about the Rangers game.
The
Hearts game at the end, if it has to be down to that. I think he would start.
Do you though? But based on what?
Because of his his recent injury history and everything, I think they just nurse him through, because I think everybody agrees.
Think he starts at the weekend?
I think everybody, probably. I think everybody agrees that he's the best centre forward just now for Celtic, right? Yeah, I don't think MD would come on here and argue that point. So if he's the best centre forward and you're down to this sort of...
He's the best chance taker.
Right, but I think he's the best link-up player as well, to be honest with you. I think he's a very clever player.
Do you think the ball has to be particularly close to his feet for that to happen, though?
Sid makes a great point. I don't think you've got to put the ball over the top and he's going to run by centre halves, right? But I think that he's a guy, and for me, If he was 100% fit and they were 100% confident, he would win that starting lineup for the beginning. So they must have a slight concern somewhere. Thank you. My opinion.
Thank you, Kenny. On the line, on the other line, Chris awaits us. Hi, Chris.
Evening, gents. How he's doing?
What are you thinking, Chris? What you got for us?
Before I go into my point, can I quickly have a wee word at Simon?
Go for it.
Simon, I think it was last week you made a wee mate of mine famous. You get beat the pundit, and you mentioned a certain individual at the gym.
I did, yes. Scott.
Yes, aye. So the wee man's been going about showing everybody his video.
I seen him this morning.
The snap on Clyde, aye.
So you've been name-dropping people who are giving you abuse for losing to beat the pundit.
You know what beat the pundit's
like.
As you
know, Simon, the wee man's a wind-up merchant yourself.
I know.
But anyway.
That's why I mentioned him.
Aye. My point, guys, I watched the Manchester United game last night, and post-match, I don't know if any's watched it, they were talking about players for certain eras in the English Premier League. And Roy Keane touched on a point about midfield players. And he had the same opinion as me. For me, a midfield player should be all-round, box-to-box, scoring goals, then he's bitten defence, etc., etc. So he's know what I'm hitting on here. And basically what it is with Celtic, I think at the moment, the game on Saturday and it was absolutely shocking. And I think, for me, what I would do moving forward into this split, I think Callum McGregor, I know he's not got the legs that he had when he started, whereas he was a left winger, if people remember right. And I think he's got much, much more to offer further up the pitch. And now that Arne Engels is back and his physicality, I think they should maybe try Engels, where see all this 6, 8, 10 carry on. To me, it's all nonsense, right? But that's the way the game is now. I would play Arne Engels in McGregor's position and move McGregor up one.
See, do you know what's interesting? I've heard this for so long, and there must be something in the logic that people, because a lot, Chris is not alone in this opinion, but honestly, I've been on the show for years. Sporadically, we get this about Callum McGregor. What I always can't shake is Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon, Ange Postecoglou, Brendan Rodgers again, Martin O'Neill again, Steve Clarke, none of them have wanted to move Callum McGregor forward. And that just tells me something. As much as Chris makes a good point, and we know he started as an attacker, that just has to be something in that. It can't be that none of these guys have ever considered it.
Tells me Chris should be the manager of Scotland and Celtic. It's as simple as that. I'm voting for Chris.
Listen, last season when he had a decent goal return, wasn't it?
Ten last season. They're all shots from outside the box.
Listen, I think he's, I look at comments, I think he's came under some criticism this season. I think the team haven't performed the way they did last year. That goes without saying, but he's in my team every week. I agree with Chris there. Like I said, getting Engels back at the weekend there. Again, another player who's fell under a wee bit of criticism, maybe with the price tag, but I think looking for a little bit more energy in that midfield, I think he could be a key player from here on in, back in the team. And I sat in the show last week and said maybe Oxlade-Chamberlain might miss out, but he pops up with a goal, an important goal at the weekend. So I think the whole theme with Celtic's team this season is nobody has really grabbed anything, and that's where Martin O'Neill changes. He's chopping and changing most weeks, trying to find a tune in players, trying to get a player to kind of nail down a position. It's not really happened. But as the skipper with 6 games to go, I think he has to play.
Yeah, to be fair, Chris wants him to play just further forward. Gordon, was there not? Did he not miss a game?
He's missed a couple,
when was it again?
Maybe with the injury.
Last season, I feel like it was at Ibrox, maybe. Maybe I'm getting my, or was it earlier this season?
No, it was Tierney and McGregor.
No, but one of the earlier ones, and Engels played there, did he not?
I think you might be right.
In fact, no, was that There's the one there. I frantically googled it whilst we were on. Yeah, the 3-1 game in January. Is that right? No, he played that game. Forget it. I don't know. But I feel like there was a game where Arne Engels played in that sixth position, and it didn't. Sorry to annoy Chris with the terminology, and it did not go well.
I'm not going to argue with Chris,
but no, I can't find
it. I think Callum McGregor's a very talented player that could play in that position, right? But I think right now suited the way, especially at home, when they get most of the ball, he's the best at dropping off and starting the play. And keeping the ball ticking along. And you're right, you named about four managers there, and every one of them play him in that position, because as much as not a problem, he could go forward, he knows how to slide that pass in and open up defences, but I think he's too important for Celtic. He's got to
play. Is he currently that important though? I think is maybe what Chris and others are getting at.
Because I don't see MD right now that's going to step into that situation. Because
that's maybe a more pertinent point then. So can Engels not do it? That's what Chris is asking for it to be.
Yeah, well, I would. He would need to experiment with that one. Is he going to try that with five games to go? Obviously, St Mirren, maybe the cup final ahead, could be seven. I don't think Martin O'Neill will. So you've got to trust his judgment. He works with him most days as well. And but look, if he decided to do a wee twist, I think McGregor one could get you goals for forward position. I think he could cause you problems because he's a very clever player and he's a brilliant passer of the ball and he can open up defences. But I just think that the Celtic coaching staff see him too important in the number six role.
Right, thank you very much to Chris. I'm worried about my own memory here, and I think I've found it. There we go. I think I found it. Was it not the 3-2 Rangers won at Celtic Park? March, is that the one? Yes, Callum McGregor's not in that team. Arne Engels was. Anyway, there you go. I'll sleep well tonight. Brilliant. Really, really award winning piece of broadcasting that. 01419511025. Get your calls in and we will speak to you next. Grade one. Right, come on, get in this draw for Make Me A Winner, because it's £770,000 on the line. Text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter makemeawinner.co.uk, where you will find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at your standard network rate. Over 18s only. Lines close 5pm Friday, so text YES to 61025 for £770,000. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. I just think it's a miracle you're here today. I just overheard you telling Simon about your
ailment,
your arduous day. How many fillings did you say you got today in one go?
Six.
What have you been eating?
Without a jag.
Today?
No, yesterday got them, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was today. No, that's fine then.
I was at the hospital today.
What's up with you?
Oh, I can't tell you. But let me just say, enjoy me while you've got me.
is it private, particularly private, would you say?
I'm in a bit of pain. Let's just say I'm in a bit of pain and my
wear and tear.
My golfing days are over.
Can't be over. I'm playing me next week.
Well, you need to carry me around.
What have you done to need six fillings in one go?
I don't know.
Too many Easter eggs.
Too many chocolate bars, I think.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
I thought it was today and you had managed to have the.
But oh no, I didn't.
No jags.
I bounced at the dentist. Absolutely. And the wee girl that got a photo of me, I say hello to her. I can't remember her boyfriend's name. I'd say hello, but I've completely forgotten.
Oh, that's good.
But anyway, you know who you are.
Next time George is off in the GBX, we'll let you do the shout out. That was brilliant. That was really good. Giving everybody the mention that they deserve.
Kevin, I'm sure it's Kevin.
Aye, go on, Kevin. James is on in Bayliston. Hi, James.
Hi, good evening, Gordon, and Simon.
Hi, James.
How are you?
I didn't realise Dazzler was doing shout outs all of a sudden in this show. But
it wasn't really based on the quality of that one. But anyway, what are you thinking, James?
I missed the goal last night, guys. I was working last night, but it's just about Sunday's game at the Falkirk Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that. It's arguably one of the best ever SPL games. I'm a Rangers supporter. I was sitting watching the game at 2-0, like probably most of the Rangers support. We're thinking we're out the game here, and you know, having a big effect on the title challenge. I think the game hinged on Rangers getting a goal before half time. I think that made Danny Rowe's half time team talk maybe a wee bit easier, although he said in the press conferences that he kind of left it to the players to kind of G themselves up, as it were. And yeah, I don't think there's any argument that second half Rangers more or less blew Falkirk away. I think Falkirk deserve a lot of credit this season. They play attacking football, they played the one way since coming up from League One, so it's not an easy place to go, and Rangers' mentality has been questioned, you know, a number of times by their own support as well, you know, in many occasions. You can't criticise the mentality on Sunday. They came out second half within, I think, 5-6 minutes. They had scored another two, arguably could have scored another couple. Gave away a stupid penalty. I mean, no arguments with the penalty. I don't know what Tavernier was thinking.
I always think it really takes something in this city, James, especially with everything as tense as it is, for there to be no arguments over a penalty. No. That should be everything James Tavernier needs to know. He was arguing for some unknown reason.
I don't know why.
Well, but James's wider point, we don't need to labour on it if everybody's talking about agreeing with a penalty decision for once. Do you see it as like a statement win or some sort of like win with a bit of gloss, or given how good Falkirk are, or given Rangers' adversity, what did you take from it? You only get 3 points, but what did you take?
Yeah, I thought Rangers first half, after all credit to Falkirk, they were right in Rangers' foot, couldn't handle it. I think what helped them was, now it could have been a case of, was it a tactical substitution, or was Mikey Moore, for me, must have had a niggle injury, which forced the Rangers manager to say, do you know what, two up top, they have been going with that at times. And it certainly worked. They just looked a different team. I know that people say, well, maybe the different formation with two up. It was the fact that they looked more hungrier when they came out.
More aggressive.
They were more, aggressive. Mm. They were at it. They were causing all sorts of problems. Now, I was sitting watching the TV, so I was imagining that Rangers probably were hitting with the wind in the second half. Could be totally wrong in that. And I just thought they moved the ball quicker, got it forward quicker, getting into good positions, and then all of a sudden the goals started coming. And from that, you could see the confidence, everything about them. It's a very, very good win, because I think a lot of people would have been looking at that game after, you know, the situation with Hearts and Celtic, and thinking Rangers are a possibility of dropping points. And at 2-0 down, I think a lot of Rangers fans were thinking possibility dropping points, but all credit to them. Substitution certainly helped them, as much as Mikey Moore's been a big player, but the two up top really caused Falkirk problems.
I think that's been a feature of this as well, because it is so close. So I'm thinking back to maybe Kilmarnock, when Kilmarnock were in front, the Rangers fans would be getting excited, and then Celtic went and took it away.
You asking me if I was excited?
That's what I'm, that's sort of where I'm gently heading.
Maybe a little bit.
Did you think Rangers were on course to draw points? Because it feels like everybody did.
If I'm being honest, I watched the first half, Falkirk go 2-0 up, and I thought,
like, well worth it as well.
I thought they were worth it. I thought Rangers were well off it. You take into consideration the results the day before, so there's extra pressure. They know that. So you have to give them credit. As James says there, they probably score right at the right time, get in at half time 2-1. It's a big difference. Interesting to hear that Danny Rowe said they just allowed the players to get on with that. That suggests that there is a fight there, because that has been put at the Rangers players' doorstep at certain times this season. To come away for that second half with 5 goals and blow Falkirk away, you know, they were direct, they had the two up top. You have to give them the credit, because as we speak about, with the way the fixtures are going, it's going to fluctuate each week depending on who's playing first. Celtic and Hearts had taken care of business, so it's a massive result for Rangers. 40 minutes into that game, you can't see that happening.
Thank you very much to James. Who gets the massive result tonight though? Let's play
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down, Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly's in relegation trouble. We are at the business end of the season. If there was a split for the pundits, absolutely no danger which half this guy would be in. And don't let his colleague get too cocky either, because absolute mid-table mediocrity. In fact, you'd be bottom six.
I'm safety. I'm done.
You'd be bottom half. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you
I
like play Dundee, a lot. Or Dundee United.
I do a lot of games. I've done a lot of mileage.
Let's play 01419511025. Beat the pundit time, and the lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here waiting on your calls, so keep them coming on 01419511025. Whether it's a look back on the weekend, a projection about what the title run-in is going to look like, earliest thoughts on the cup semi-finals this weekend, something else entirely, you tell us. 01419511025, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on, beat the pundit time. These two are absolutely here for the taking on a Tuesday night. No doubt about it.
About to say absolutely hopeless.
Well, I was going to, you lost a very close one last week as well. You were heartbroken.
I know, I thought I'd won it.
What was it again? A kind of 5-4.
5-4, I thought I'd won it.
Did that really dent your confidence in a way, thinking if I can't even win with this?
The confidence went a long time ago this season.
Yeah, listen, Lewis is on the line to play tonight. How are you, Lewis?
I'm alright, how are you?
Always like it when somebody's just along the road, Lewis. It means Gordon DL can hand deliver the ball or the coin if you win. Happy with that?
I'm happy with that, yeah.
He is known to float about Clydebank Asda from time to time. If you want to just meet him over there, that's it, you?
I'm just out there.
Are you, mate? Any good deals? Because I'm going to the one in Motherwell.
You're the yellow sticker man in there, I've seen
you.
No,
I'm not. I don't do yellow stickers. Not because I'm proud, it's just in case MD sees me and slaughters me.
You've got the blue side of the coin will be Simon Dort. Did you buy anything nice, Lewis?
Just a wee curry from my dinner.
Quite right, brilliant.
I think he's hungry.
Blue for Simon Donnelly, red for Gordon DL. Let's see how it goes. And it is. It's Mr. Yellow Sticker himself.
Have you ever seen him relieved as much?
Cheer that.
Oh, he went. Oh, I was nearly the 8-second button.
Well, it's you.
Right, okay. All the best, Lewis.
Thanks very much.
Right, what we do is give Gordon some music nice and loud in his ear so he can hear us, Lewis. It's pretty straightforward, as I'm sure you know. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Happy?
Yes.
Let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who was Rangers' first foreign manager?
Pedro Cristina.
Who did Celtic play in the opening day of this league season?
St Mirren.
How many clubs has Stephen O'Donnell played for?
Three.
Colin Chisholm sang which club's anthem? What's the third biggest stadium in the Premiership?
Pittodrie.
Who's the manager of Hamilton Accies?
Pass.
Which Scotland manager drew with the Faroe Islands in 2002?
Alan, please.
Okay, can you hear us? I really wish you wouldn't tap your feet or whatever that was.
That was shit.
You obviously enjoying the song.
Was that?
Billie Jean just started, but what was it? Was that the
Fleetwood Mac? Even though you always get the lyrics just slightly wrong to every song.
You can go your own.
That's more like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Fleetwood
Mac.
Happy with that. You ready?
Go.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was Rangers' first foreign manager?
Tikavica.
Who did Celtic play in the opening day of the league season?
St Mirren.
How many clubs has Stephen O'Donnell played for?
Three.
Colin Chisholm sang which club's anthem?
Colin Chisholm. Hart.
Who? What's the third biggest stadium in the Premiership?
Easter Road.
Who's the manager of Hamilton Accies?
I'll pass, quick.
Which Scotland manager drew with the Faroe Islands in 2002?
2002? I would say that's
Three,
Craig
two,
Levine.
One. Don't tell me to go quick. I'll decide what speed I go at. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Lewis, how do you think it went?
I don't know. I think you might just have me.
Let's go through them and find out. Who was Rangers' first foreign manager, Lewis? You sound like a young man. Would that be fair?
I'm 22, aye.
Yeah, Dick Advocaat, it was Rangers' first foreign manager, not Pedro Caixinha. Slightly different Rangers records of those two. Gordon DL gets it and goes 1-0 in front. Both of you, I'm impressed with you both. I don't know if they were guesses. St Mirren, the first day of the season. I was just thinking that those are quite hard to remember.
I always remember that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, good score. Well, clearly.
3-0 or something?
No, it was one, was it not? Callum McGregor, who we spoke about.
McCowan.
Oh, McCowan, sorry.
McGregor was the one.
I thought it was right.
McGregor got one disallowed that day. Is that what it is? 2-1 to Gordon DL. How many clubs has Stephen O'Donnell played for? What did you say again?
I say three. I think it's more than that.
Lewis said three. Kilmarnock, Motherwell and Partick Thistle.
And somebody else.
And Luton.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
tricky young. One. Yeah. Tricky, tricky. Still 2-1.
Travel with a big guy today. Sorry, Stephen.
2-1. Colin Chisholm sang which club's anthem? It is Harps, Lewis. Harps, Harps, Glorious Harps.
Here is my story.
This is my story. What do you mean? He always just gets one crucial word wrong.
There's always something like that. No?
Harps, Harps.
How did he get that one?
Mate,
he sang it on the pitch before the game at the weekend. He's been doing it in the last couple of home games. Well, I'd like to think so.
Is he a professional?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Or is he just a guy that gets...
Didn't you pluck somebody off Gorgie Road and ask him to sing the song, did they? That'd be weird. So Gordon DL is 3-1 in front. However, the third biggest stadium in the Premiership is Pittodrie. Well done to Lewis.
Is it?
Yeah, Pittodrie, then Easter Road, then Tynecastle. There's very little in it, to the point where the question makes me uneasy.
Right, get that.
Because all it would take is for a few seats to be removed for something, for a segregation, and we'd have an issue. I think it's that close.
Okay, we'll give
him it. He's pulled one back. None of you knew that long time Aki's player Darian McKinnon is the manager.
It's midfield player.
Quite a tricky one.
Sorry.
So Lewis still trailing. And 2002, Bertie Vogts, Faroe Islands. I thought you'd done on that.
No, I certainly didn't. He did, Lewis.
No, I didn't either. No, see you
that one. Sorry, Lewis. Enjoy your curry, but
remind me, did you? You obviously went to France '98. We spoke about that many times.
I never played under Bertie.
Never played under Bertie.
No, I didn't.
Sorry to remind you. You know, you think we do this for sport. You famously didn't get on at France '98. What happened after that? Did you get caps after that?
My last cap for Scotland, funnily enough, was against the Faroes at Pittodrie. My only start.
Who's
so
manager?
Before Bertie Vokes, so still Craig Brown then.
Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah, okay.
Must have been.
Just curious. This is your life, Simon Donnelly. Lewis, it was not bad. You got a couple on the board. Heartbreakingly, though, he got three and you only got two. Hard lines.
Unlucky.
No, listen. Listen, unlucky, mate.
If you'd have got Si,
listen,
you would have probably got a ball or a coin. But
one of you has got an Asda microwave curry and the other one has got nothing. So who's the real winner here?
Yeah. He's been to Asda. Who's the real winner? Still to go.
Who's your team, Lewis?
Rangers.
What are you thinking? Winning this league?
I was at the game at the weekend and I was panicking at 2-0 down, but then I thought we were brilliant the second half and I thought we've been good the last couple of games before that. I thought we were brilliant against Aberdeen and Dundee United, so I'm quietly confident.
Is Andy mad enough to leave at 2-0? Does that happen? I don't know, you know, if people maybe a beer too many or you... No.
Maybe three.
We had a Hearts fan hear him last night saying it is so tense and so anxious. He left at 70 minutes.
70 minutes. What, he just had just too, not ner- as if too
like,
nervous.
Yeah, so like,
I can understand that. I'll leave at 70 minutes.
But you're disinterested and lazy. That's different.
That's true.
The fact, you know, like we've said before, if you go 2-0, 3-0, you maybe drop it. But to just get to 70 minutes and think, I can't handle this anymore, is quite telling, I think, about the way that...
All the best for the next five games then for that guy.
Well, obviously, Hearts rallied quite the thing.
Yeah. I hope he's not going to Easter Road. He'll last five.
Unbelievable. Well, Lewis was actually there. What was it? Describe the kind of general feeling, Lewis, when it went to 2-0. I take it very hard to see a way back in the stadium.
Aye, it was just that... We've been there before the last few years, you know. You feel that they were never going to get it out of the line, but I don't know, they showed a bit of character second half, and well, it was like a totally different team.
What do you take away from it in terms of, does there seem to be something a wee bit different about this Rangers team? I just don't know, I feel like there's been so many times over the last, even earlier this season, previous seasons, you can't really see them scoring six away at somewhere like that, can you?
No, you can't even see it. Last few seasons, probably can see us scoring six anywhere, not only away, but it shows a bit of fight that I don't think we've had for years, and I think we will get it out of line.
Yeah, listen, I think there's a lot of encouragement from Rangers. I know that people will say, well, hold on a minute, you know, Falkirk is always a difficult place to go, especially coming back from 2-0 down, and Falkirk were brilliant up until that time, but it just that goal seemed to lift Rangers right time, get them in at half time, regroup, tweak one or two things, go with two up top, attitude, determination, everything was brilliant second half, and they scored goals for fun. But There's another five.
They go back last game of the season.
So you'd be confident in that just now. But there's a lot of hard games before that.
How does that work, Lewis? Does that make you confident to go back to Falkirk, or how much in the back of your mind do you have what they are at least were capable of at the beginning?
It does, to be honest. When I seen the split fixtures, I kind of knew we were going to have to go there three times, but on that plastic pitch, I was worried going down there at the weekend, but the same half performance only gives me confidence.
Is that the way you'd look? I think you'd be inclined, most people, I think, to lean that way, because they've won by a mile, they've scored the six goals, but is there still enough there, do you think, for maybe, is it the glass half empty types that might still, you know, not fear going back there, but
I put my neck in the line. If Rangers had to go there to win the league, they're winning the league.
You don't see any problem?
No.
But if they start like they did
the weekend? No, I don't think they will. I think that lesson was, and probably with the importance of that game, and John won't have a team because he won't play any Rangers supporters. So I would fancy Rangers to go there. If it was a lad down to the last game and Rangers, it was in their hands to beat
them,
I would fancy Rangers big time.
Okay, thank you very much to Lewis on the line. Let's hear from Bojan Miovski. He was signed with quite a bit of hype, I think you would have to say. It's not really gone his way this season, but comes on and scores a couple at the weekend, and these were his thoughts heading into the post-split fixtures.
The league is like a marathon, it's not one game. So, of course, you have ups and downs. We are 1 point behind. It's consistency is the key. And I think the last couple of games we play really good and give us positive things. Every player believe from day one. It's not like now in the moment or the last two games. It's we believe. And, of course, it's a big help for the fans that they support us. It doesn't matter how is the result. We always go for a goal. We don't want to defend or keep the result. We are in the Rangers club where we want to dominate and score as much as we can. And we see in the end what's going to happen.
What do you make of what that attack might and should look like then come the end of the season? Because everyone was talking about Rangers looking better when they play two up front. Ryan Nadiri's season might be over. Danny Rule had the chance then to just stick with it from the start and didn't. Is that the bit that went wrong? What kind of lessons do you think?
I think it needs to go two up top, right? And the reason for that is I don't see anybody in form that's got to play off the right-hand side. I know that Kasama floated in and out of the game for me. Mikey Moore's a starter.
Kasama did well second half.
But I don't think he's consistent enough, Gordon. If you're going to play Mikey Moore and you go with your strikers and you look at the evidence there, and I know it was a one-off second half, the two of them went up top, and I think they really get in about Falkirk's back line, caused them all sorts of problems. By the way, four goals between them, which helps, of course it does. I would be more inclined to go with the two, because I think one of them, you know, where it's Chermiti or Miowski, can just play slightly off the right hand side. And the width comes from your either Tavernier or Sterling and down the right hand side and whipping balls in. So I think they look a more dangerous threat with two up top. But I'll be interested to see what he does. And it's obviously given him a lot of thought.
We're talking about goal scorers and strikers in this last five games. From a Celtic point of view, I'm not too enamoured with Miovski starting to score goals. He's a player I've always liked. He's never really... He's not kicked on the way I thought he would at Rangers, but scoring the goals will give him the confidence. I like him as a player. I agree with you, two up top should probably be the way forward for Rangers, but it's a concern from my Celtic perspective that Miovski's
starting to score goals.
I think he's a decent player.
Yeah, listen, he came with a big price tag. He came with, everybody thought, safe pair of hands. He knows the Scottish League. He scored goals with Aberdeen. I just thought that Aberdeen played a slightly different system and style to what Rangers tried to do. And I think he struggled. He got a right few goals. Was it Queen's Park in the Cup or something? Or some
Aaron,
he scored about four goals or whatever. And at the end of the day, you still got to put the ball in the back of net. This could be his time. It really could. He looked confident. Goals brings confidence. Any striker will tell you that.
Yep.
So he must be looking to start at Ibrox against Motherwell. They two up top. Got to be.
I keep the calls coming, by the way. 01419511025. That is the number that you need, send us a tweet as well at Clyde SSB if you fancy that. Still loads of time. We're going to go to Easter Road and hear the latest for the build up to the Scotland Women's National Team big qualifier this evening against Belgium. Gabriel is there, so we'll do that in the not too distant future as well. If there's something else out there, let us know. Chris is a Hearts fan. Chris, how are you feeling now? Getting closer.
Aye, aye. How you doing, Gordon? How you doing, boys?
Good.
Hi, Chris.
Are you nervous, Chris?
Probably, to be honest, aye. Like, it's getting closer, eh? It's like one of those now, it's like it's a shootout now, eh? It's whoever does the best, and like, we've all got tough games, eh? So I think if we get through the next couple of games, that's really important, eh? The Hibs game and the Rangers game, eh? Like, if we get past both of them, like, I think I really will start believing, eh?
Agree. I think that's forget right. I know everybody looks at this game at the last game of season, right? Hearts, for them to win the league now, I think the two biggest games are coming up. Hibs at Easter Road will be an absolute.
But we keep saying that, though, don't we?
It'll be a cracker.
Had they dropped points against Motherwell, people would have said that was it. You know, it's
yeah, but
rolls on.
But if they drop points at Easter Road and then Rangers go there and take points, I don't think there's any coming back for them. I know they've got Celtic in the last game of the season, but the league could be well and truly done. You flip that, they could look to play Falkirk at Tynecastle to win the league if all the results go for them. They're two
was
massive.
Was that second last game?
Yeah, they're two massive games coming up. You know what, like Hibs would rather get relegated than let Hearts win the league. Let's be honest about it. And then obviously Rangers go there calling. Brilliant games coming up, and his name's not Colin.
No, it's Chris. It's not even close.
You're thinking of the singer.
No.
What else are you thinking tonight, Chris?
I was just I was listening to the show for last night when I was at work today, and in the nicest way possible, eh? Like, I think that you and Andy need to get the goggles off, eh? Kind of about the penalty incident.
Goggles? I've never heard that described as goggles. You mean tinted glasses?
Aye, well,
I think me and Andy are away down Aquatech.
That's a penalty every day of the week, yeah.
Like, well, if you say so.
You can't boot somebody in the head, eh, when they're on the ground. It's not like he's threw his cell across the box and tried to get his head on the ball or anything. He's went up for the ball, he's fell down.
Did I say it wasn't a penalty, by the way, at any point?
Well, you and Andy seem to be going that way to say that Kabore should have been given a foul given to Motherwell, but
I don't think I said that.
Kabore was. That's the sort of gist I got for it, eh? And Andy definitely said it.
Oh, Andy did, obviously. No, I think where the debate is, Gordon, is people have pointed out that there's a rule that says if you play in a dangerous manner, and some people interpret being on the ground and heading the ball away whilst you're there as playing it in a dangerous manner. I don't think that's
a big
scandal if people want to interpret it that way. The referee obviously doesn't. The VAR obviously doesn't. I've heard people say that the ball, that's more when if the ball was like on the ground sort of thing, and you know, you nudge it away with your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris can say it's a penalty every day of the week or whatever, and he booted him in the head, but we all do that. We all use that exaggerated language to try and spin it whatever way. It's not, put it this way, if he wants to talk about my goggles or whatever it was, I'm nowhere near as offended by that one as I was the failure to get a penalty against Falkirk last week. So stick it somewhere below that one.
Yeah, it was a strange one. When I watched it just quickly in the studio on Saturday, I was screaming, never a penalty kick. But then when you look at it, and a lot of Motherwell, and I heard Andy talking about it, he doesn't think it was a penalty kick. But I think it's dangerous player when you stoop your head down into the position where the player then catches you.
It would be nice to hear about
it'll be interesting to see what Willie Collins says.
And sort of what the interpretation is, because the rule doesn't talk about stooping or the ball being on the ground. The rule says playing in a manner that can endanger somebody, whether that's you or somebody else. So I think that's where
that
people
includes you putting your head.
But if you put your head down and it's a free kick to Motherwell because it's dangerous. Play.
That, to be fair, that is also a tough sell, isn't it? You try to tell me that should, like, there's one thing saying it's not a penalty. A free kick to Motherwell feels also very extreme, doesn't it? So you can almost see why Chris is saying, well, he kicked him in the head.
I'd have sent him off for lying down there anyway.
Exactly.
You know what? Overhead kick, didn't he? It was an attempt at an overhead kick.
I have no idea. Did he
just get
a wee tug?
Anyway, do you know what? I've just realised I'm in real bother here because kickoff at Easter Road is 7:30 and I thought it was 7:45. So let me very quickly do this. Thanks, Chris. Where's my dramatic music?
They're in real bother as well.
Somebody snoozing
the
in there.
Biggest music quiz for Cash for Kids Day.
Gordon Dale's bang up for this. He really is. He's been signing up for it. He's been telling everybody how well he's going to do. The world's biggest music quiz is Thursday the 30th of April from 1pm, remember, with Ant and Dec. But we're launching our own quiz night the night before for Cash for Kids. It's at Bad, so we've called it Glasgow's Big Bad Music Quiz. Do you like that? Wednesday 29th from 6:30. George and Cassie are going to host it, so get involved. Go to Clyde1.com and we'll see you Wednesday the 29th of April.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to kick off in the big one for the Scotland Women's National Team at Easter Road. The national anthem's just taking place. So as soon as that's done, we'll cross to Gabriel, get the team news, get a flavour of what's at stake tonight, what the game means, and everything you need to know before this one does kick off over there. As we said, the home of Hibs, Belgium, the visitors. Gabriel has us all covered, so just time to time our run perfectly for when the national anthem is done. Belgium, of course, going first as the away side. Flower of Scotland now playing, and that is us. Gabriel, what is happening tonight?
Yes, Gordon, good evening. Scotland's third World Cup qualifier on the road to Brazil 2027. It's been a flawless start so far with two victories from two, but the tests get much tougher starting tonight. This is the first of a doubleheader against Belgium, and undoubtedly they are Scotland's rivals for top spot as the top seeds in the group. Head coach Melissa Andriata has been in the role for just around a year now. She said earlier in the week she is 500% sure that her squad will be the ones to take Scotland to a first women's major tournament since 2019, and claims they will give blood, sweat and tears to do so. And listen, they've won their last three, scoring 15 goals in the process, Gordon. They'll be confident and they know that they'll need 3 points before the trip to Belgium later in the week. I'll quickly give you team news. It's Sandy McIver in goal, a defence of Nicola Doherty, Rachel McLaughlin, Jenna Clark and Emma Lawton. Miri Taylor and Kirsty McLean are in midfield with Erin Cuthbert, Carolyn Weir and Freya Gregory in front of them. Kathleen McGovern leads the line at the home of her main stadium. The substitutes for Scotland today are Lee Gibson, we have Eartha Cummings, Amy Muir, Sophie Howard, Mia McCauley, Kirsty Howard, Georgia Brown, Kelsey Cornett, Charlotte Newsham, Jodie McCleary, Lauren Davidson and Ailey Adams-Gordon. Just around 5,000 tickets sold for this massive game this evening. As we know, it's a huge game in the road to Brazil 2027. Very convoluted process. They will have two double-legged playoffs if they do get through to the next round. That's what it's all about, with the eyes on the World Cup next summer for Melissa Andriata's side. Kickoff coming up right now.
Yep, we wish them well. Melissa Andriata's side, as Gabriel said, yes, two wins against the lowest ranked team in the group. Good, a positive start, but ultimately this double header will probably decide quite a lot. So it's a massive night there at Easter Road. If anything happens in the first half an hour, you will hear from us on that, and of course pick up the pieces on social media later on. Gabriel has you all covered, so keep the calls coming. 01419511025. I've got a question for you as well.
The full time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, Russell and Mogai has sent it in. Topical, as always. I love the speed of thought people have. As soon as they see something that comes up, they just bring it up. And in fact, I'm talking absolute rubbish because Falkirk played Rangers at the weekend. I'm thinking they played Celtic. Never mind, just scrap that last
bit. It's coming up.
There you go. It's coming up. That's exactly what it is. Can you name the last eight players to play for Celtic and Falkirk? Simple as that. So the last eight players to play for Celtic,
Kelvin Miller,
and play for Falkirk at some point in their career. Sorry, so that's the specifics.
Scott Bain,
yes.
Calvin Miller,
yes.
Sorry. Falkirk.
You've gone a bit quiet now, haven't you?
Yeah, we got the ones out that we wanted to.
So the last eight to play for Celtic and play for Falkirk at some point. A couple of naughty ones in here, let me tell you.
I don't know, I'm right here. Why are we not getting that?
That's a great question.
How far back is it? Can you tell us?
No, I don't think I should. To be quite honest,
no.
No.
Ah, you did. Played with Falkirk. I thought you were a Celtic man.
When did Griffiths play at Falkirk?
He played 12 games in 2022.
There you go.
Nah, okay, nah. Leave it there, because that's a good start. Lee Griffiths, Scott Bain, Calvin Miller, looking for the last eight players to play for Celtic and play for Falkirk at some point in their career. Okay, keep your questions coming in as well.
John
Thanks.
Hughes?
I'm not answering that. I told you I wasn't accepting any answers.
I didn't hear it, but was John Hughes one?
No. fulltime@clyde1.com to send your questions in. That's where Russell and Mogai got in touch. And a big thanks to our sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow, as well. Yeah. I'm being serious. You think I'm kidding on? John Hughes is not on the list.
Is he not?
Get him on then.
He's not in the last eight. He's nowhere near it. Far too long ago.
Far too long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a guy on this show? Big Killian. Did he play at Falkirk?
No. Played for everyone. What about him? We need to get him in this week.
Oh! Disaster.
What have they done?
Disaster.
What have they done?
I was about to phone him up, go out and celebrate with him getting the title.
I don't think he's on this week. I think that's why he's devastated
for him. He's just come home.
Of course, they get pipped.
He come home for, where was it?
Turf.
I knew it was somewhere.
Oh, what a spectacular.
That was incredible.
Anyway, if you're wondering what we're on about, is Brechin's failure to win the Highland League
ultimately. Oh, Schmeichel.
Don't care, not accepting answers right now. Kevin is on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there. Hi.
What are you thinking tonight, Kevin?
Well, just my point was, I'm a Rangers supporter for Fife.
Okay.
And it's not that I just think Rangers are playing the better football, and I don't think we get the, not the justice, but I don't think we get the respect that we're due, because I think we have been bad in past times. But anyway, the main one was when I seen Lauren Shanklin, Rangers could have signed him, and at the weekend, it was all the debate of, oh, was it a penalty, was it no? Now, I'm not here to get that, but what I liked for him from a captain, he was looking at that point saying, he hit him in the head. That's a great captain, and he needs to go to the World Cup. So, yes, I'm on about Rangers, I'm a Rangers fan, but I'm more thinking about Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness though, I think there are other reasons why Lauren Shanklin should go to the World Cup rather than he tried to convince the referee to give a penalty at the weekend. You're right, Kevin is right. He was the one leading the protests and so on. But also something that did strike me after that is It's not like he's got a 100% penalty record or anything. He's missed them. He was just never missing though, was he? You get that feeling at the moment. If this is going to come down to these big moments,
that from a captain,
he's going to take it, isn't he?
And slotting the penalty. Yeah, 100%.
We're going to really put our foot to the floor. It's going to be hard to do it all at once because we've got a title race in our hands. But every passing week now, Gordon, questions about who goes to the World Cup, who starts once we get there, they are only going to intensify. And I feel like Lauren Shankland is like the people's choice to play up front? Is that such a thing?
Yeah, I think he's nudging towards that. I don't think it'll be Steve Clark's choice, but one thing I will say, if he's fit, he'll be on the plane. There's no doubt in that. He was a big miss to Hearts. He's back now at an important time of the season. He's a captain, he's a leader, and you're right. I'll tell you something, he would have felt that pressure at the weekend there, because he knows how important that was. Mm. But he had to take the responsibility, because he takes the penalties, but it's getting the ball in the back of net, and he achieved that. He will certainly be on that plane going to America.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt, is there, about the squad?
For the World Cup?
No, but is it more about how much of a role?
I think that's the case. I think...
Or what that role is, I should say.
Yeah, Steve Clark's obviously played strikers ahead of him, I think he's got a part to play, certainly. He's got an eye for goal, probably the best goal scorer in the squad, maybe not as mobile as a couple of the other players, but maybe that's where Steve Clark leans towards the others. But he showed in the Denmark game, and he pops up, you know, if we need a goal in a game, he's one that you would look to. So I think he's got a role to play at some point. Whether he starts the games, that's a different debate. I don't see him starting for Scotland, but I certainly see him playing some sort of role.
see to make it about the title race as well, Kevin. You're saying you're a Ranger fan, but you're on to admire Lauren Shankland. Talk about, you know, could have signed him. Do you fear what he's capable of in the title race, or is that not really the way you're thinking?
What was that? Sorry, did I fear?
Do you like fear what he's capable of in a title race that your team's in?
No, there's no fear. The belief's there. It's just I've had more belief this year than we've had previous, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about previous successors as in players or managers, but that on Sunday was a good statement, because years gone by, the game was dead and buried, you know, from Falkirk. They would have meant on a 3 or 4 goals, because they're a good side. They are the most, I would say, not underachievers, but they're the team of the season, you know.
You certainly make a case for them, couldn't you?
If they get to the final, certainly, yeah.
But even at that, they're League One 2 seasons ago. I know, but the
Motherwell,
there
Motherwell take Hearts, Rangers and Celtic. Motherwell, a team of the season. I know John listens to us. Apologise, John. But I think Falkirk have been brilliant. I do fancy them to get to the final.
Not much between them, though. There's only 2 places between them. And if you think about Falkirk,
and Falkirk have turned Motherwell over a few times, haven't they? Let's be honest about it.
Motherwell's budget is small, to be fair, but Falkirk's probably even smaller.
Yeah. A lot of people I know, a lot of people that really should have a look at themselves. I know a few that tipped Falkirk to be in relegation battle. Couldn't believe it.
You won them?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe this.
Where are you going with us?
We're only a couple of weeks away from digging the predictions back out.
Please. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That is good. It won't be the only one. He won't be the only one. I think what Kevin's saying there, you said earlier you didn't think it was a statement won at the weekend.
I think it was. I think I go with Kevin there. I think and
because of
maybe
how
not even previous seasons. Earlier on in this season, I don't see Rangers coming back from that 2-0 deficit.
Well, they also hadn't beaten Falkirk.
Yeah.
In the 2 games.
So
previous
2-0, and as I say, 40 minutes into that game, I couldn't see where a goal was coming for Rangers. It was so flat, but they get the goal before half time, and then the 2 quick goals at the start of the second half change the game, turn it on its head, and they go on to score 6. I think it's a big result, especially with the other 2 winning the day before.
Okay, thank you very much to Kevin on the line, a Lauren Shankland enthusiast, and giving us his thoughts on the title race as well. Can you name the last 8 players to play for Celtic and play for Falkirk at some point? You've got Griffiths, Bain and Calvin Miller.
And Schmeichel.
Yes, Casper Schmeichel.
There's another goalkeeper, isn't there?
Is there?
Conor Hazard, did he play?
Yeah, somebody's texted you that. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. No. 5 down, 3 to get. We will get them when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us into the home stretch on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is still time to squeeze in calls if you fancy it, though, so do get on board. But quickly, if you can, please, 0141 951 1025. The guys, Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly, are working through a good teaser sent in by Russell and Mogai. Who are the last 8 players to play for Celtic and play for Falkirk at some point in their career? Casper Schmeichel, Conor Hazard, Lee Griffiths, Scott Bain and Calvin Miller so far. 3 to get.
Go on, you've got one.
I haven't got one.
Do you not say Stokes?
No, you said Stokes. Is Stokes correct?
Yes.
Oh,
is he? Well done.
You're going to admit that Hugh Keevan's texted you that?
Hugh Keevan's never texted me.
I heard you. I took these headphones off during the break and I heard you whispering it to your wee pal here.
Shuggy's never texted me a correct answer
until
in
tonight.
15 years.
It is Anthony Stokes. One of the more
well done, Hugh.
Memorable ones, if you like, because pretty successful at both. Clubs,
yeah.
2 to get.
And you said we'll never get them, so.
Nah, you won't be just giving up, to be honest.
Plenty
of time at the moment. Let's hear a bit from a former Celtic striker in Frank McAvenny. You've been talking about strikers today. He believes teams no longer scared to play against Celtic and doesn't think it would be a surprise to anyone if St Mirren beat them this weekend.
Nobody's scared of Celtic anymore. That's my biggest problem, you know, they're nobody scared of them. Every team's having a go at them. And, you know, it's a wee bit different for you. They're used to playing the halfway line. And they're not, they're playing at the edge of the box now. And so the game's opened up because there's a lot of space, whereas Callum used to play across the halfway line and in their half and dictate the play. There's nobody there now, it's only Callum. Would you be surprised if St Mirren beat Celtic on Sunday? No. I don't think anybody would. So it wouldn't be a surprise the way it would be, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, I don't get it. 2 years, a year and a half ago, we went toe-to-toe with Bayern Munich. Great team. What's happened? You know, it's very quickly it's turned into, you know, the show it is at the moment.
That's become a real junction, that Bayern Munich game, hasn't it? Because it's funny. So I hadn't actually heard that clip yet. Mm. I was speaking to somebody in the park today, just small
Celtic,
talking.
Celtic park?
No, just the park, the swing park, if you like. Who was a Celtic fan, and who just that comparison just jumps out for people. Where they say, "Remember Bayern Munich? How has it got to this so quickly?" The bit about no fear, I think is that accurate? That kind of fear factor, is it gone or at least diminished heavily?
Maybe. You look at how many. Look at how many defeats they've had this season.
Eight.
And as I say, going back to the most recent game, second half, St Mirren had a lot of the ball. I might be wrong in that, but it felt that way. And Celtic, you know, it's just a very unlike Celtic performance.
Belgium have scored, sorry, already. It's a bad start for Scotland. 1-0, 15 minutes. It's a tap in from a corner, and Melissa Andreata's side got a bit of work to do. Because I suppose if you're St Mirren, where is your fear going to come from? Because you say, well, not only have we beaten Celtic this season, we've done it in a cup final game, yeah, at mm-hmm. this very stadium.
They'll fancy themselves.
And we played
them
on their home patch last week. And yeah, they beat us, but it wasn't the gulf between the sides wasn't one that we would be scared of. So certainly in that regard, and with no offence to St Mirren, they're not one of the league's better teams this season. No. The table tells you that. That's not been, you know, critical. So in that regard, you can understand that comment about the kind of fear factor not maybe being there.
Yeah, I think Frank would look at probably the split you're looking at. Would Motherwell fear Celtic coming to Fir Park? No, they wouldn't. Rangers will fancy going to Celtic Park because they've been there. Hearts will fancy going to Celtic Park, been there and won. So, I totally take on board what Frank was saying, because when you played against Celtic in the past and the teams that they had when they were dominating, you always thought to yourself, they need to be off it and we need to be right at it and we need a wee bit of luck to go. That's the three things that would have probably got your result against Celtic. You don't need that now. I think it'll be an open game at the weekend. I still make Celtic, as much as people say, well, would you be surprised if St Mirren knocked Celtic out of the cup? I probably would, because I fancy Celtic still to beat St Mirren at Hampden at the weekend.
Okay, 01419511025. There is still time for a call. Let's go George on the line. Hi, George.
Good evening, panel. I'll just make this very quick because we're running out of time a wee bit. So I was just looking ahead to, you know, the World Cup again, and I was reading articles about Scottish, you know, informed players that Steve Clarke should seriously look at recently. Mm-hmm. I'll just mention them briefly. There's Robbie Murray, who plays in Sweden, who's scoring goals pretty much at will. There's Ross Stewart at Southampton, who's on a great scoring form as well. And then there's your guy, Barney Stewart, who I know you've talked about in the last few shows about the form that he's in. So given that, you know, we're in a group where we need to be at our best and we've got to play our informed players, surely these three need to be given a run out at the next friendly against Bolivia.
Well, that's not good. The friendly against Bolivia is part of the journey. Well, so, you know, it's decided. Yeah. But then that's going to be the interesting thing. Those two friendlies there were the ones really
that you can have experimented.
So if anybody's going to force their way in, it's going to need to be a proper late run, like something that really catches the eye incredibly.
Or one of the guys
or injuries.
Share the three guys you mentioned there. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I was surprised. Ross Stewart for me.
Southampton boy.
Yeah. Something different. He's got good height. He's got good pace. He can play through the middle. He can play off the. He played off the flank in the left hand side when he played at Ross County as well. He's had moves at what, about 8 million quid. So people really rate him. I know he had a bad injury. He's come back. I watched him, I can't remember a game I watched him not that long ago.
Arsenal.
And he scored.
Yep.
He
looked as well
really, really sharp. And I really like the look of him.
I think the there's three there though, right? Which I think is an interesting comparison, just purely because they play at the same level. Because it's hard to compare this guy's in this league and that league in different countries. George Hurst has got the shirt, if you like. Would that be kind of fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right, he's playing in the English Championship. He's got 10 goals this season. Ross Stewart, playing at the same level, has got 8, but I think he's had injuries.
Yep.
6 of them since January. So if you're looking for somebody who's got a wee bit of trajectory,
yep.
Ollie McBurney's actually the top of them all. He's 15 in the Championship. What I'm getting at, though, is there enough between that for George Hurst to lose the jersey? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The advantage goes to the guy who's in already.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you need to surpass that person?
Right, I get you, but the reason I'm saying about Ross Stewart, I totally understand. I think Ross Stewart gives you options in different formations. I think he can play through that as a 9, or he can play off that left-hand side with a bit of pace and a bit of height. Balls come diagonally. He's 6 foot plus. He's a real threat at the back post. So I think it gives you better options.
But what I just mean in terms of...
Adams,
Dykes and Shankland are going to go. Yes,
yeah,
every reason
probably,
agreement.
Yeah.
So I think he'll take 4, because if it's 4, the 4th, is it Hurst? So if it's not Hurst, is it Stewart? Can you see George Hurst being left out for him, or do you want to leave somebody out somewhere else and put him in as, you know, as a 5th striker? We've not really got to Tommy Conway yet, who apparently is playing off the left for Middlesbrough at the moment. Tried that in the friendly.
Didn't work, really, did it? I thought he'd done okay, right? But
Where's the wee guy dope classed? Midfielder?
He plays off the he gives
I was just
going to
say, in terms of the kind of so-called out-and-out strikers,
I agree with you. I don't think at this late juncture these players get oust unless it is
just as an example, it might be more interesting. Let's say George Hurst had 3 Championship goals this season and Ross Stewart ended up with 23. I don't know, maybe that is extreme enough at this point, because, you know, George is talking about Bolivia. At this point, you're essentially calling up somebody that doesn't know the whatever it is, the system, the way they go about things. So how good is that person going to need to be?
Yeah, I'd probably Steve Clarke will stick to what he's looking at, because I think if Ross Stewart.
But if there are injuries though, you think he should be the next name?
Yeah, because I think he gives you the option
more
that
than
he
McBurney
can play.
And he's got 15 championship
goals. McBurney will never be able to play off a side for you. Ross Stewart will. And I think he could be a real good threat. He's got pace, he's big, he's got an eye for goal, and I think when you go to the World Cup, when you play against different teams, you're going to need different players to adapt to that. If you look at our team just now, all our midfield players play a sort of an in-out, McGinn's and all that. Ross Stewart can give you the width and come in at back post and give you problems. So I think that if we had injuries, for me, he would be my pick.
Okay, Scotland still trailing by that 1-0 at home to Belgium. The women's national team with work to do. You two have work to do in the teaser. Thank you to George, who put some good names towards us there. Russell and Mogai wants you to name the last 8 players to play for Celtic and play for Falkirk at some point in their career. Schmeichel, Hazard, Griffiths, Bain, Miller, Stokes. Calvin Miller, Anthony Stokes.
2 to get.
Yep.
2 to get. At what positions?
He's kind of midfielder, and he's actually still at Falkirk. And the confusing thing for you is I think he played once for Celtic.
I've got him.
Go for it.
He's got a famous actor father, Adam Nisbet.
Aidan.
Aidan, okay.
Yep.
I knew it was someone.
Rabsy. Okay.
He's not James Nisbet. Rabsy.
That was a joke.
I should have come out with that. I'm raging. You got that
really
one.
Hard, the hardest one by a mile, because he barely played any for Celtic and he barely played any for Falkirk.
What position?
Fullback. He played for your team, Motherwell, as well. He's played for loads of teams. We'll just need to put you out.
Initials?
JC. Quick.
Nah.
Joe Chalmers. Thank you, Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly. We are back tomorrow, Wednesday night at 6. Make sure you join us. Have a good one.